A story that appeared on the CNN website the other day caught my attention. It is about a man who was facing execution in Texas last Thursday, but less than an hour before the scheduled time, the Supreme Court granted a stay. Eh, marami tayong matututuhan dito. Ipinapakita nito yung kapangyarihan ng korte sa mga bagay na may kinalaman sa batas. Nasa kamay ng korte yung kamatayan o buhay ng isang tao. What relief this man must have felt as he was facing death less than an hour because of the crime of which he was convicted, and then the execution was stayed because he requested for DNA test again of the evidences. Now, we do not know what the final outcome is going to be. Well, the DNA test may prove that he really was the criminal after all, and then tuloy na naman yung death penalty sa kanya. But isa pang ipinapakita nito ay yung halaga ngayon ng DNA testing in legal and criminal procedures. It has attained the status of the almost conclusive. That once DNA test confirms that the evidence is yours, then it establishes conviction. Now, most of us probably would not be able to state what DNA stands for. Deoxyribonucleic acid, but at least we know that there is something important about DNA because it establishes something unique of individuals. And by testing DNA, it is something that establishes, that points to the person himself. Well, in the case of God, of course, God cannot be tested chemically. We do not establish his identity by DNA testing, nor by any test tube testing for that matter. Not by any laboratory. We know who God is by his own revelation. Nakikilala natin ang Diyos sa pamagitan ng kanyang pahayag ng kanyang sarili. Nagpakilala siya. Hindi natin siya masusukat, hindi natin siya matitimbang sa sarili nating paraan. Kinakailangang magpakilala siya. At siya ngayon nagpakilala sa pamagitan ng iba't ibang paraan. At ang iba't ibang paraan na yon, lahat ngayon ay nakasulat na dito sa salita ng Diyos, dito sa Biblia. Kung kaya nga sa tuwing nagbubuklat tayo ng Biblia, at sana'y meron tayo ng damdamin na tinitingnan at binapasa ko sa mga pahinang ito ang pagpapakilala ng Diyos sa kanyang sarili. And every time we turn to any of the books of the Bible, we can say that God is revealing himself through that particular part of the Bible. But we can say that some certain parts, God very personally introduces himself. Now, one such part is this prophet we have studied for 2 months, the prophet Micah. In fact, the very burden of his message is right there in his name. His name, Micah, a shortened form of Micaiah, means who is like the Lord. And you will find this in our text right there. God is, or Micah is asking that very question, who is a God like you? Now, as I have told you, Micah's prophetic ministry coincided with the perhaps more famous prophet Isaiah. They both ministered in the southern kingdom of Judah. But Micah's ministry was extensive in terms of its reach to both the southern kingdom as well as to the northern kingdom. And Micah is very easy to divide because each section begins with the same word, here. 1:2, first section. 3:1, next section. And we are now in the last section, 6:1, which each of which begins with here. Parang nagdedemanda ang Diyos sa kanyang bayan. Matapos yung kanilang tipanan, sinasabi ng Diyos dito na lumabag kayo sa ating tipanan. Lumabag kayo sa inyong obligasyon. At dahil dyan, nagdedemanda ang Diyos sapagkat naroon yun sa tipan. At sa kanyang demanda, walang lusot ang sino man. At yan ang nakita natin sa bawat yugto na ating pinag-aralan. And yet, the centerpiece of Micah's prophetic ministry is in his prophecy of someone coming by whom there will be deliverance of his people. In fact, Micah is one of those with very specific reference to the events surrounding the birth of the Messiah. He predicted where he will be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. Kaya masasabi natin, isa si Micah ang may pinakamalaking na iambag sa propesiya na may kinalaman sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. At yung propesiya na yon, Sinasabi ni Micah sa kanyang henerasyon, dapat ay magkaroon ng timbang sa kanilang buhay, bagamat hindi pa nangyayari, inaasahan pa lamang nila, dapat ay magkaroon na ng kaibahan sa uri ng kanilang pamumuhay dahil sa inaasahan nilang yun. And if that was how Micah expected his generation to react to that prophetic message, how much more to you and me when we can look to that event not as a future, but in fact as a fulfilled past. Kung may timbang sa henerasyon ni Micah ang ganong propesya na hindi pa nangyayari, paano pa sa atin? Tinitingnan natin yung pangyayaring yun hindi bilang hinaharap na mangyayari pa lamang, kundi nangyari na, naganap na. At kung nangyari at naganap na, dapat mas malaki pa ang timbang sa atin. Kaya isinabi ni Micah sa bayan, anong inaasahan ng Diyos sa kanila? And in Micah 6:8, which we studied for two Sundays, we saw one of the more succinct statements of biblical godliness, what God expects of His people. They are to love, they are to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with their God. That's God's standard for the generation of Micah, and you can well believe that that is still God's standard for you and me. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Now, the question is, what if we fail to do that? Paano kung nabigo tayo na gawin ang gayong pamantayan ng katarungan, kahabagan, at kababaang loob sa ating Diyos kung hindi natin magawa? We are given in the final chapter of Micah a portrayal of God that again establishes His uniqueness. Who is this God? Well, this God is one who chastises. He will not leave His people to their own sins. He will chastise. And the way we respond to His chastisement is in fact one of the most important keys to the life of faith. Paano tayo tumugon sa kanyang disiplina? Yan ang isa sa mga susi ng buhay ng pananampalataya. And so we said last Sunday that God's chastisement is part of His gracious dealing with His people for their good. We need to respond with penitent humility. We need to respond with attention to His message through these chastisements. Now I invite you to turn yet once more to the last part of Micah as we read Micah chapter 7 verses 14 to 20. Micah chapter 7 verses 14 to 20. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland. In the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old. As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them marvelous things. The nation shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Kung ihahambing natin itong mga katapusang mga talata doon sa mga nauna na nating binasa dito sa chapter 6 and 7, the last section of Micah, parang may hindi pagkakatugma. There seems to be a discontinuity. For in the earlier section, we see a chastising God. A God who will not relent. A God who will not let His people be when they sin. He will chastise them, even judge them. This is a holy God that you do not trifle with. That's the picture we get. And yet, as we draw to a close this book, we have in the closing verses of Micah one of the most touching portrayals of a God who forgives. A people restored. Eh, parang nagkakaiba yan. Some people give the idea that it must be another Micah or it must be another prophet na pinagtahi-tahi lamang itong mga bahaging ito ni Micah. Kaya ibang Diyos yung tinutukoy sa ibang mga talata. Ibang Diyos naman itong sa ibang talata. And that of course cannot, that nothing can be further from the truth. This is the same God that unites the whole book. This is the same God that in fact unites the whole Bible. The God who chastises is the same God who forgives. And the way to know this God is one of the keys to having a right relationship with Him. That we deal with Him as one who will chastise. We deal with Him as one who will forgive. And as we saw last week that He is a chastising God and that we do well to respond humbly and rightly to His chastisement, let us now draw this book to a close with one of the most touching, one of the most vivid portrayals of God's forgiveness, not only in the Old Testament, but in the whole Word of God. So where Micah sees him as most incomparable is in this issue of his forgiveness of his people. Let that be my closing message then of this book. God's incomparable graciousness is displayed most in his forgiveness of his people's sin. Ang hindi maihahambing sa biyaya ng Diyos ay nakikita sa kanyang pagpapatawad sa kasalanan ng kanyang mga tao. God's incomparable graciousness is displayed most in His forgiveness of His people's sins. It is to Micah a source of awe and wonder that His people chastised now are the same people forgiven. And what should be so to Micah should be to us as well. Kung ano yung kinagilalas nitong si Micah sa kanyang henerasyon, ay siya rin naman dapat nating ikagilalas sa ating panahon. Sapagkat kung ano yung totoo kay Micah, mas totoo sa atin sa katotohanan ito'y tinupad na. Kay Micah, inaasahan pa lang niyang mangyari sa ating panahon, tinupad na, binigyang katuparan na at magkakaroon ng kahustuhan sa pagdating na muli ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. At dito, si Micah ay nagsasaad ng kanyang panggigilalas, ng kanyang pagkamangha. At marapat lang tanungin natin ang ating sarili, naroon pa ba sa atin yung panggigilalas at pagkamangha sa ganitong biyaya ng Diyos? When Micah thought of what God did to the nation of Israel in order to forgive them, he referred to the Exodus. In verse 15, he said, "The Lord has brought you out of Egypt." That's the Exodus event. And in the Old Testament, that was the greatest event they could look back to. Yung kanilang matatanaw na pabalik o magugunita na pinakamahalagang gawa ng Diyos sa lumang tipan ay yung kanyang ginawa sa Exodus. Para sa kanila, ito yung kagilagilalas na ginawa ng Diyos. Ngunit ano yan sa atin? Kung ikukumpara sa binabalikan natin, sa ginugunita natin, ang kaganapan sa Exodo ay maliit na bagay kung iahambing doon sa kaganapan ng krus ng Kalbaryo. At kung kay Micah, yun ang isang bagay na kinagilalas niya, mga kapatid, wag dapat mawala sa atin ang panggigilalas natin sa kahabagan ng Diyos na nagpatawad sa atin. The thought of God's forgiveness should even more inspire wonder on our part. So let us learn from this text, apply this to us now. There are 3 points I want us to see. First is sovereign mercy. Second, repentant people. And third is marveling worship. Ito yung tatlong bagay, tatlong sangkap na narito sa mga pangungusap ni Micah. Soberanong kahabagan, nagsisising bayan, at nanggigilalas na pagsamba. Sovereign mercy. Twice in verses 18 and 20, the word mercy is used by Micah. In the ESV, those of you using that, you will have it in the word steadfast love. Now, we think of mercy often in terms of a sentiment. Pag merong kahabag-habag o kalunos-lunos o kawawa na tayong nakikita, doon tayo nahabag, naawa at maaring ganyan ang akala natin sa habag at awa ng Diyos, yung damdamin, yung emosyon at hindi sentimiento ang kahabagan ng Diyos. The word mercy, in fact, used by Micah here is a dominant term in the Old Testament. Chesed is a dominant Hebrew term which almost always reminds one of the covenant of God. Nakipagtipan ang Diyos. Hindi ito isang bugso ng damdamin gaya ng kahabagan natin. May nakita tayong kawawa, nahabag tayo. Hindi ganun ang kahabagan ng Diyos. Ang kahabagan ng Diyos ay pasya ng kanyang tipan. Pinasya niya nung siya ay nakipagtipan kay Abraham, nakipagtipan kay David. At yan ang isang napakahalagang susi sa pag-unawa ng mga gawa ng Diyos sa lumang tipan. Hindi mo maunawaan ang maraming bagay sa lumang tipan malibang ilagay mo sa konteksto ng pakikipagtipan ng Diyos. At dito nga sa ating teksto, yung huling talata ng Micah, ay inalala itong si Abraham at si Jacob. Bakit inalala? Pagkat inaalala ni Micah yung dahilan na ang kahabagan ng Diyos ay bumubuos ngayon sa bayan na nagkasala ay dahil nakipagtipan siya kay Abraham at kay Jacob. Sa makatwid, hindi ito dahil sa kung anong uri ng tao itong henerasyon ni Micah. It is not because God saw something in this generation that He therefore was exercising mercy. It wasn't because of circumstances that made His mercy more conducive. Not at all. Not circumstances. Not the kind of people that this generation was. If anything, this was a people that should have been punished and without mercy. But why did God exercise mercy on this generation of Micah? Because He had a covenant. And God's covenant means He pledged sovereignly. Not on the basis of who people were, but on the basis of His pledge. So God's sovereign mercy is a pledge by His covenant that He will forgive for His own glory. Magpapatawad siya ng dahil sa kanyang kalwalhatian. At yan ang isang napakahalagang pag-unawa ng lumang tipan. You cannot understand the Old Testament unless you have the covenant events to as insight into Old Testament revelation. You must understand God's covenant with Abraham, God's covenant with David. These are all important keys to understanding the Old Testament. But when we come to the New Testament, and this is important for our understanding, when we come to the New Testament, we are made to understand that these covenants in the past have found fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ and is now a new covenant. Yung mga tipan ng Diyos, kanang Abraham, kanila David, sa mga pangyayari ng lumang tipan, ay nilabag ng bayan ng Israel at ngayon ay binago. Nagkaroon na ng bagong tipan, bagong pakikipagtipan ng Diyos. At alam nyo ang sinabi na pinakasusing pagpapala ng bagong tipan? Inihula na yan ni Jeremiah 31:31 and following, binigyang diin sa bagong tipan, the chief blessing of the new covenant is this, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. So makatwid, napakahalagang susi pala dun sa tipan ng Diyos ay yung magpapatawad siya. So what was still future to Micah's generation in Jesus Christ is now realized. It is now present to us. It is here. One identity of God's people is that they are the forgiven ones. Isang pagkakakilanlan sa mga tao ng Diyos, sila ang mga pinatawad. And again, not because of who we are or how we appear before God or what circumstances surround us, but because in sovereign mercy, He will fulfill what He pledged. And in the New Testament, we understand that to have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Micah's text, He was appealing to Abraham and to Jacob. Parang sinasabi niya, oo, pagtingnan niyo sarili niyo, walang dahilan na kayo patawarin ng Diyos. Kung tingnan niyo ang inyong mga panahon, walang dahilan na kayo patawarin ng Diyos, ngunit ang apila ay kay Abraham at kay Jacob. Nagtakda ang Diyos, nangako siya, sumumpa siya kay Abraham at kay Jacob na kanyang patatawarin ng kanyang bayan at alang-alang sa sumpa na yon ay kanyang iginagawad ang pagpapatawad. And what more assurance do we have if Micah could appeal to Abraham and to Jacob as a pledge of God's forgiving blessing upon His people, then We appeal to one greater than Abraham. We appeal to one greater than Jacob. And if there is an appeal to Abraham and to Jacob, greater is the appeal that we have to Jesus Christ. So what explains forgiveness? Not the kind of people we are. What explains forgiveness? Not the circumstances we have. But because of the pledge of God fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And we call it now sovereign mercy. Soberanong habag ng Diyos. God forgives because He has willed and pledged to do so. Everyone who is in His Son is a forgiven one. Everyone who believes in Christ is forgiven. Now, the other side of that coin means outside of Jesus Christ, you have no forgiveness. And do you realize it? Do you know the misery you're in if you are not in Christ? Kung wala ka kay Kristo, anuman ang pagsisikap mo, anuman ang mga relihiyon mo, anuman ang seremonya, anuman ang pagpaparami mo ng mga mabuti at maayos na gawa, kung wala ka kay Kristo, wala kang kapatawaran. Yan ang miserableng kondisyon ng bawat makasalanan. Ngunit kung ikaw ay na kay Kristo, narito ang iyong katiyakan. Pinatawad ka. Hindi dahil sa kung sino ka, kundi dahil tinupad ni Kristo ang tipanan nila ng Ama. At hindi tatalikod ang Ama sa kanyang isinumpa sa tipanan. You know, Israel today, the modern nation of Israel, is almost a pathetic sight, a small nation surrounded by Arab enemies. And yet, one of the reasons for its security is its very strong relationship with the superpower, the United States. So they have a treaty that Israel, when at war, will be defended by the U.S. Eh, yun ang nagbibigay sa kanila ng seguridad. Pero yun ay sa larangan lang ng politika, larangan ng diplomasya. Ikaw at ako, napapaligiran tayo ng mga kaaway natin, nasa loob natin ay kasalanan, paano natin sasabihin na tayo ay pinatawad ng Diyos sapagkat ang nagbigay ng katiyakang ito ay ang ginawa ng Diyos kay Kristo? Brethren, that is our assurance. The ultimate assurance of our forgiveness is that Christ guaranteed it. Christ has fulfilled it. And where Micah appealed to Abraham and to Jacob, we appeal now to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the bedrock of our assurance. Naisip nyo ba, halimbawa kaya't sinabi ng Diyos o makakatiyak ka ng iyong kapatawaran hanggat napapanatili mo ang kapayapaan ng iyong isip? What if God said, you may be sure you are forgiven as long as you can maintain your peace of mind. And then times come when you are beset with doubts. You go through those periods of turmoil in your own conscience. Or what if God said you are forgiven for sure, but only if you can live a life of continuous victory over sin? And times come when you fail and you fall. Those times come when you are under attack by demonic temptation and accusations. Do you think you and I can ever have any reason for assurance if that were the basis, the state of my heart, the peace of my mind, continuous victory over sin? There will be no reason or basis for assurance if that will be the basis. But what does the Bible say? 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. That's our standard. Do not sin. And if John left it there, you and I would have been left to the complete accusation of our conscience. I write this to you that you may not sin. But then he added, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Or listen to 1 John 3:20 and 21, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Does your heart condemn you? There will be periods when our hearts condemn us, and rightly so. And if it were on the basis of the state of the heart that you and I can only have assurance of forgiveness, then we're dead. But that's not the case. We can rise above even the state of our heart, and there we see God, whose pledge is greater than our hearts. Oh, brethren, we need this assurance. And we should know where to source this assurance of forgiveness. That assurance that led Fanny Crosby, the blind hymnist, to say, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. It's all about what God has done. Nothing of mine, nothing of my state, but all God. So why am I forgiven? Who dare I say that I am forgiven? It's sovereign mercy. But then secondly, there's the repentant people. What I said in my first point can be very vulnerable to abuse by those who have not truly repented. And that will be a misapplication of this wonderful promise of forgiveness. But take note the figures of forgiveness. Dito nawawala ang marami. The figures used are, "He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." This is the language used of enemies. He will subdue. It's a language you use of enemies. And then, maraming nakakamiss nito, when sinabing, "You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea," right in the context where Micah just recalled their being taken out of Egypt, what event would you be reminded of about being cast into the sea during the Exodus? Who were cast into the sea? Pharaoh and his army. They were the ones cast into the sea. So what is Micah saying here about forgiveness of sin? Yes, those sins are forgiven, but those sins are treated as enemies. And you don't say and dare say you are forgiven unless you are a repentant person who have come to the point that you treat your sins as enemy. So what was done to the army of Pharaoh in the Exodus of the Red Sea, and what was done to the enemies of Israel, they were subdued. That is now how we treat sin. What comes into the place of Pharaoh and his armies is now sins. Hindi na natin kaharap ang mga kahawal ng Faraon. Ang pumalit na sa larawan ni Micah ay ang ating mga kasalanan. Ang ibig sabihin lamang, sino itong mga pinatawad? Ang mga pinatawad ay yung ang tingin nila sa kasalanan ay kaaway. Hindi kaibigan. God's forgiven people turn their sins into enemies to be overcome. Or another way of saying it is that God's forgiven people are turned into fighters against their sins. Not that they always gain victory, not that they come to perfection, but nonetheless, they fight. They seek to overcome. Beware of the unrepentant claiming forgiveness. It is a formula for the hardness of heart. And those who make much of grace and forgiveness must make much of the issue of fighting their sins. And what Pharaoh and his army were to the Israelites, our sins are now to us. They will be cast into the sea. But that's because we have treated them as enemies. One other thing that it tells us, here is a secret or a key to fighting sin. You begin with forgiveness. Sa paglaban sa kasalanan, isang susi ay magsimula ka sa pagpapatawad ng Diyos. Ganitong nangyayari sa marami. Nahulog sila sa kasalanan, hiyang-hiya sila sa Diyos, at hindi sila agad lumapit sa Diyos para humingi ng patawad. Ang ginagawa nila ay inaasikaso muna nila yung maraming bagay para feeling worthy na sila uli. At kapag feeling worthy na sila, saka lalapit sa Panginoon. Eh, yun ang gawi ng Pariseo. Para mo labanan ang kasalanan ng iyong kinahulugan, magsimula ka sa pagpapanariwa ng patawad ng Diyos. Huwag ka maghintay na pagwagian mo muna, daigin mo muna ang iyong kasalanan, linisin mo muna sa sarili mong paraan, kundi doon sa iyong kinalugmukan, magsimula ka ng pagsisisi, pagpapanariwa ng patawad ng Diyos. One thing that many do not know about the Reformation, because it is very often, you know, what's associated with the Reformation is sola fide, faith alone. Kaya takala nila walang diin sa repentance sa Reformation, and again, nothing can be further from the truth. What started the Reformation, as we know, was Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on his church door in Wittenberg. 95 Theses. And what many don't realize is that point number one, the very first point of the 95 Theses, is Luther's words, when the Lord said, repent, he meant a lifestyle of repentance. It was his point against Tetzel saying, it's by indulgence. And Luther said, no repentance now. And that's an important point in the Reformation. Ngayon na. Kung meron kang kasalanan, ngayon na magsisika at humingi ng patawad sa Diyos. Huwag mong ipagpaliban. As somebody said, true repentance is never too late. Late repentance is seldom true. True repentance is never late. Late repentance is seldom true. Kapag paliban mo ng pagpapaliban ay lalong nawawala ng saysay. So, sino itong mga pinatawad? They are a repentant people. And then finally, the element of marveling worship. We return to Micah's original burden contained in his very name, who is like the Lord. And now he comes to the conclusion of his book, his prophecy. He utters those very words, who is a God like you? And what is it that Micah saw about this God that was to him so marvelous, so incomparable? Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity? Sinong katulad mong Diyos na nagpapatawad ng kasalanan? Isang ipinapakita niyan ay forgiveness of sin is a unique biblical truth that glorifies God marvelously. Ang pagpapatawad ng kasalanan ay isang natatanging katotohanan ng salita ng Diyos na nagluluwalhati sa Diyos sa paraang nakamamangha. Huwag sanang mawala sa atin ang pagkamangha. Well, I know there is a concept of forgiveness in every religion. And I study comparative religion to study what they think of this or that compared to Christianity. And I'm telling you, there is none like the biblical story. There is none like the biblical story that safeguards justice, that does not undermine it, and yet justice is taken care of, yet now God can be just and be the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. And when you get to understand that, you must marvel at the wisdom of God. At ito siguro yung nararamdaman ni Micah sa puntong ito. Sinong katulad ng Diyos? E minsan pinapakinggan ko sa mga press conferences ng dating Pangulong Erap na tatanong siya tungkol sa pardon na ibinigay sa kanya ng Pangulong GMA. Eh, ginagawa pa niyang panluloko, pagmamalaki. Hindi ito ang saloobin ng isang tunay na pinatawad. Hindi ito mangyayari sa isang makasalanan na nakaalam ng pagpapatawad ng Diyos. Ang ganong makasalanan na alam niyang kaya siya nabubuhay dito at na may relasyon siya sa Diyos ay sapagkat siya'y pinatawad, ay hindi mawawala yung kanyang pagkamangha. Isn't that what Charles Wesley meant when we just sang one of his most famous songs? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's love? Died He for me who caused His pain? Ako yung naging dahilan, sanhi ng kanyang sakit, ng kanyang pagdurusa, at ako ipapatawarin niya. There's the note of wonder, and let us not lose. Wag sanang mawaglit sa atin ang kamalayan ng pagkagilalas sa kaabaga ng Diyos. Stimulate marvel in your worship of God with appreciation of the forgiveness of our sins. And certainly, for sinners, what can be more amazing than the thought that I, a depraved sinner who mind my own business and not God's, a rebel against His will, should be reached by His hand and from dirt pick me up and wash me in the blood of His own Son. I ask you, have you lost the wonder? Can you go through a thought like this and simply with barely a nod of the head say, yes, that's true, without that marvel of Micah, who is a God like you, who forgive iniquity? We can wonder at creation, and it is right. We can wonder at God's work in providence, and again, it is right to do so. We can marvel at the wisdom of God in the way He spins these many events and yet fulfill His own purpose, and we rightly marvel at those things. But tell me, what could be more marvelous than a sinner forgiven by God? Don't lose that wonder. For from that wonder, we worship Him, we find our assurance, and we find the note once more to fight against our sin. As we go back again and again to that note of wonder again, I, a sinner, forgiven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing our last hymn, which is a reminder that as we continue to approach the mercy seat, there we can have the assurance of constant forgiveness. None can perish there, says the song, when we are in the mercy seat of our God. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na walang mas lalong matingkad na larawan ng iyong biyaya sa amin kaysa sa katotohanan kaming mga makasalanan ay iyong pinatawad, at huwag nawa mawala sa amin ang panggigilalas sa ganitong biyaya. Tulungan mo kaming makita na ang biyayang ito ng pagpapatawad ay nakabatay hindi sa kung sino kami, kung anong nasa paligid namin, kung anong nangyayari sa amin, kundi nakabatay sa iyong soberanong habag na binigyang katuparan ang tipan ng ginawa ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. Indeed, if Micah in his time could appeal to Abraham, to Jacob, as a recollection of your faithfulness in covenant, we can appeal to one greater than Abraham, to one much greater than Jacob. We appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He did on the cross, and by that which He did, we may rest assured that we are forgiven. For it is not resting on the state of our heart, for we find ourselves many times disturbed in our peace. We go through periods of turmoil of conscience, but thank You that it does not rest even on the state of our heart. Indeed, God is greater than our heart, even when our hearts should condemn us. So grant, O Lord, that we may appeal to Christ for the reality of our forgiveness, and yet make us see that the forgiven ones are repentant people. Repentant because we have turned our sins into enemies to be subdued. Enemies like Pharaoh and his army cast into the depths of the sea. So are our sins to us. So grant, Lord, that we may not be vulnerable to the thought of trifling with forgiveness that is without repentance. Make us a repentant people. And yet, we learn from this that the way to fight our sin is to always begin with forgiveness. Not to earn forgiveness by what we can do, but to begin with forgiveness, that which already Christ has earned for us. And Father, as we think of all these things, may we say, as we have just sang, "O wondrous love, to bleed and die." And may we never lose that wonder. May we, like Micah, utter that question of amazement, "Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity?" And may this be a motive to propel our worship of you. Make our worship a marveling worship because of your graciousness to us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.